We'll turn our
Bibles to Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. I'm a little nervous. I got a verse I say a lot of times when I'm nervous. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That encourages me, relaxes me. I say it a lot because it's one of the few that I know. I've got a few more. I want to share a few more of my verses with you throughout the service and the sermon. But right now, that's my favorite right now. And I don't know many. And you can tell by the ones you hear that my memory's not that good. I just now turned on the microphone. So, but as we get started now, I want you to understand that as I share a couple of my favorite verses that I've memorized, it's to encourage me, and it's also part of the service. Now, my wife says I get distracted. I think of it as being excited. I get excited about something other than what I should be doing at the time. And I do the same way when I study Scripture. But it's not a distraction. I hope it adds to the service. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. My wife asked me, I volunteered to cover the service tonight, and so I was trying to come up with a devotion. And I came up with all kinds of ideas, and I'd study a little bit, and then it would lead me to something else. And I said, this is better than what I started with. So I studied a little bit. I said, this is better than what I started with. And I've got 20 pages of notes. And I can't settle on. But then my wife asked me. I said, I got to come up with something. So my wife asked me. She said, Ricky, this was a few weeks back, a week or two back. I can't remember how long it was. She said, Ricky, she said, I was reading about Moses. He made a brass serpent. And he put it up on a pole. And the people looked and they were cured from the poison of the fiery serpents. She said, I mean, that's good that people were cured, but I thought we weren't supposed to make any graven images. And I said, you know, that kind of twists me around a little bit too. I've always been questioning that, and I somewhat understand it. And so I said, let me study that. So that's what you're going to get tonight. We're going to get tonight. Now, we'll start with Exodus 20. Numbers 20, 21, Numbers 21. And we'll read a few verses there. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried. And there was no water for the congregation. And they... I'm reading wrong. I'm sorry. Numbers 21. I'm sorry. 21. There you go. I'm sorry. Wrong one. Okay. It's almost a similar story. And when the king Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the people, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against Moses, against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And that's all it says. It says, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. That's all it says. It says, make the serpent, If they look upon the serpent, as they're dying with this poison in their bodies, they'll live. So, that's it. So, I wish you had more to the story. So, I went to Exodus 20. That's what threw me off. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus 20, talking about false idols. Exodus 20. We'll read a few verses in that chapter. And this is what we've read before. This is why Numbers 21 doesn't sound right. It said, "And God said, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, a jealous God." I'm a jealous God. "Visiting the iniquities of the for the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." The first commandment was, don't have any false gods. But then he gave a little explanation. He said, "I just brought you out of the house of bondage, out of the house of Egypt." He said, "And if you're like me, you've seen lots of Egyptian ruins and artifacts. And they had a image, either a stone image or a large statue or a brazen image of every kind of creature there was. I've seen long-nosed dogs, and I've seen alligators, and I've seen snakes, and I've seen cats, and I've seen frogs. I've seen images of everything. They worshipped all kinds of gods. And they had Israel as slaves in their country. But Israel wanted to worship God. Israel loved the Lord. These people hated God. They did not want Israel to worship their God. They wanted Israel to worship their gods. That's why God was jealous. Egypt was trying to pull Israel away from God. He was a jealous God. He said, I can't have this no more. He said that with Joseph, they grew up with the Egyptians. They prospered. And then Egypt enslaved them. And then Egypt tried to pull them away from me. God is a jealous God. He loves his people. He loves his people. And he hates idolatry. So, what about this? What about this? For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And then he said, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The thousands are the Israelis. He pulled them out of the country. I think of a generation that's about 25 years. I figure I'm born, I live 25 years old, I have children. They're born, they live 25 years, they have children. They're born, they live in the 20s, they have children. So that's just an opinion. But I think, so in four generations, God said, it's going to take them four generations to recover what I've just done with them with the plagues. He said, they hate me and they tried to pull you away from me. I'm a jealous God and I'm visiting my iniquity upon them. They're going to suffer, not just now, but for four generations, for 100 years, 4 times 25. He said, don't you start worshiping false idols. Because I will bless those that, what is that word? I said, I will bless those that keep my commandments, that love me and keep my commandments. So, God is not happy with a graven image. All right, there's one more example in Exodus chapter 32. Go over a few pages, Exodus chapter 32. That's when they made the golden calf. They've already been told this. They've already been warned of a punishment. Let me read the first few verses there. We'll start in verse 1 there also. Exodus 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off thy golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in the ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." So he made that golden calf. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast of the Lord." And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. God was so angry with them. I'd like to read the whole chapter. God was so angry with them. He had the sons of Levi put on swords and kill 3,000. The 3,000 men were probably the instigators, the leaders of the group that led the rebellion. And then he was still so mad at the people of Israel, he took that golden calf. He had Moses take that golden calf, throw it in a big fire. That golden calf melted down to a puddle of gold, soaked into the ashes. Then he said, pull up that, probably a big chunk of ashes and gold. He said, grind that up into powder. He ground that up into powder. And then he took it and he threw it out into the creek or the lake or the river or the pond that the rock that he had, that God had given him to flow with living water. He threw it into whatever water source they had to drink. He said, "Now you drink it." That's how much he hated a false god. He took, when I had little puppies and kittens at the house from years back, we was told if they wet the floor, you take the nose, you rub the nose in it, and you spank them, and you go take them to the litter box, or you take them outdoors, train them. There may be a better way of training an animal right now, but that's what we was taught back when I was young and had little puppies and things. That's what God's doing. He's telling them. He said, "Drink that water now. You drink it." And they were so regretful for what they had done. Even at the end, you don't have to look at it, but in verse 35, the last verse of Exodus 32, it says, "And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made." He wasn't through with them. They continued to be punished by God for a while. He's a jealous God. Our God is a jealous God. And then let's get back to the serpent. Maybe I'm getting a little bit distracted. You know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that. I remember that. In the beginning, I helped you. Helped me when I'm nervous. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and I believe that God created the heaven and the earth. All right. In 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18. We're going back to the serpent. Let's see. Yeah, 2 Kings. Sometimes I find 1 Kings and I think I'm there, but it's not. Chapter 18. Okay. Now, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. While y'all are at, look at my 1 Kings. I knew I'd do that. Let me go back to 2 Kings, chapter 18. Now believe that. The Word of God is God. And verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. We're going to go a few verses there. Now we're going to get back to the serpent. I didn't know the serpent was mentioned anymore, but it is. It is. Serpent mentioned later. Now, and came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name also was Abiah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and broke the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. And what that means is, he said, this is just a piece of brass. This is no idol. This is no god. The nation of Israel, or some people in Israel, were burning incense to this. This is no idol.
You know, when the last time we read about the serpent, it just said they looked and lived and there was nothing else to it. God didn't say keep it, preserve it. He didn't say throw it away, destroy it. If God told me to build something, as soon as I thought that the usefulness of it was gone, I still wouldn't destroy it. I'd be excited that God commanded me. So God didn't say destroy it. But as they kept it, and as they fell away from God, and as they started worshiping groves and high places and false idols again, they also worshiped that serpent. Well, Hezekiah was a good king. Said, and let's read verse 5. He trusted the Lord of God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. Hezekiah was a good king. He did what was right. He did not let the people worship that serpent. He did not let them worship false gods. But why did God have it made? It still seems like, why did he have it made in the first place? Is it mentioned anywhere else? Is that serpent mentioned anywhere else? One more place. The serpent is mentioned one more place. John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm almost through with the verses I know. And it's obvious, it's kind of easy to know these, but I'm so glad that God saved us just by believing on God. God saved us. Oh, that feels good. All right, so turn to John chapter 3. Let's go to verse 14. Right before, just real quick, right before he talked about the Son of God was given as a gift to the world for salvation, he's talking about this serpent. John chapter 4. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So here's this serpent again. This is the last time I know of that scripture, that the serpent's in Scripture. But it's back in Scripture again. Why did Jesus... bring it up? Look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto them, Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Jesus was having a conversation with Nicodemus. And he didn't. And Nicodemus did not understand what he's trying to say. And so he went back into the history of the Jews to try to make something clear to Nicodemus. This is what's exciting. I get distracted. My wife tells me all the time, I get excited. I done told you. Let me see these different verses right here. It said, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. I've learned that. It's 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. That goes along with what we're going to say in a moment. Because that's a jumping verse. That's what's going to let me jump to another verse, because I can't remember the whole chapter. That's what I call a jumping verse. All right. Now, let's go to chapter 3 and another reading. There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus went straight for him and was telling him he has to be saved. But he didn't quite put it personally. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, he was planning to enter the kingdom of God based on his studies, based on his work, based on his knowledge of the Lord and how much he loved the Lord. He thought he would enter into heaven. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, all of us, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were born again. All of us, when we trusted Christ and His promise of taking upon Himself our sin
dying on the cross for us, we were born again. But look at me. I don't look like a little 5-pound or a little 10-pound cuddly little baby. Physically, I didn't change. Inside, I changed. Spiritually, I changed. So the Lord is trying to explain that to them. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." He said, I'm not talking about our physical bodies being reborn. I'm talking about the Spirit being born within us. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Now listen, let me explain it to you this way, Nicodemus. He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Like, you can't see the wind. It's invisible. In church, if the wind's blowing, we're up on a hill, it gets to howling around this building. You can hear it during the service. When you're out in there at the foyer, it whistles through those doors. You hear, you know it's there. You look, you may see the trees that are blown by the wind. You cannot see the wind. It's invisible. You don't know where it's coming from, where it's going to. You just cannot see it. But so is someone that is born of the Spirit. So is someone that's born of the Spirit. What is that verse? I got it written out to remind me. Where is that verse from? Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Let's go back to Jephthah. That's Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So God made the, what that means is, if you have faith, you believe that God created the world from nothing. He did not take materials that were laying around and change the materials to build the world. He created the world from His Word, from nothing. John chapter 1. We're in John chapter 3. I hope you had a finger there. Go back to John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things..." I'm so glad. It feels good to say that. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." That's another way of saying there wasn't anything to start with. God made the world from scratch. And I mean, a scratch means a scratch of nothing. God made the world with His Word. Now I'm going to go back to that jumping, but back to Hebrews 11. And hold your finger in John 3 if you can get there. But Hebrews 11 again. All right. Verse 3. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things were seen were not made, things which are seen but were not made of things which do appear." All right. And then also it said in verse 2, "by faith." So if we understand that, as you look in this chapter 11, I kind of scrambled up that verse. If you look in this chapter 11, it's called the chapter of faith. It lists people. It's got Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, and it lists the acts of faith that they did. I look on a little further, and it's got Abraham again, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses is listed again. And it has the harlot Rahab, Gideon, and David, and Samuel. From the harlot Rahab to King David, it lists people that showed their belief in God through their faith. You can't see the faith. You can't see their the Holy Spirit that had born again in them. You can't. But look at verse 1 of chapter 11 again. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see faith. You can't see the Spirit. You can't see the wind. God, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have faith. I just proclaim. I believe God created the world from nothing in the beginning. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. And then it goes on to list all these people and all the wonderful miracles and acts that they did. Everything from slaying giants to conquering enemies through faith. Well, if you believe that God created the world, the heaven and the earth, through His Word, you're included in verse 3. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. We're listed right there with David, with Moses. We're listed right there, our faith. You think that's not a big deal? You go to a college or a high school class right now and they tell you how, what happened millions and millions of years ago. You go to a state park and they talk about the stalactites and the stalagmites and the river basin and the mountain, how it took millions and millions of years to create the sedentary this and that. And you speak up in that crowd and tell them, all that's false. The world is only 6,000 years old. Through genealogies of the Lord, you can tell that the world was created 2,000 years. The Lord destroyed the world with the flood. In 2,000 years, man was wicked again. The Lord brought Jesus Christ to save the world. And then from Jesus Christ now is another 2,000 years. 2022 is how we count the years. This year, 2022, 6,000 years ago, God created the world. And if you tell people that, they have been so brainwashed by today's schools and universities, they will laugh you to scorn. They will laugh you to scorn. And so, do we say that? No, we kind of keep quiet. But I believe it. And that means I'm saved. I know it. We're saved. We know it. Because we've accepted this. That's what's exciting. And the Lord is trying to tell. Let's go to John chapter 3 again. The Lord is trying to tell Nicodemus, explain this to him. He said, this is invisible. The faith that you have and that causes the actions of all the saints was invisible, but it caused him to do something. You heard him give a testimony. You saw them slay the giants. Said we know that they slept overnight with the lions. They walked through the fiery furnace. He said the faith moved them to do that. He said, but you can't see the faith. If that stuff is like the wind blowing, you can hear it or you can see the actions or the results of the faith, but faith is invisible. He said, be born again. It's invisible. It's spiritual. He said, marvel not that I said, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Thou canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. He said, there are people right now with me and the prophets have spoken of me, and you won't believe us. Spiritually, we are born again. Spiritually, we're living. We're not dead. We're living. He said, and he's trying to tell him, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you're not alive. You are dead. He's trying to tell him this. He said, if I have told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Several times, Jesus, in this conversation to Nicodemus, he referred to himself as the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There he is again. Be lifted up. And that means be crucified. That's what I believe that's what Nicodemus understood him to say. If the Lord had been executed in our time, we might not have a cross up there, a cross of crucifixion. We may have a hangman's noose. If it was a few hundred years back and he had appeared in France, it might be a guillotine. That right there is a tool of execution. But the Lord gave Himself on that cross. That's what the Romans had in charge of back in the time Christ was given to us as a little babe. The Romans used the crucifixion as a means of execution. And the Lord knew He was going to be executed. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. So He kind of wove the two together. If you believe in the Son of Man, or if you believe in the snake, I mean if you believe in the direction of God and repented of your sin, like having your nose rubbed in that gold dust of the calf, or having your being convicted of your sin of rebellion back in the time of Israel when they rebelled against God, and you turned to that cross and you thought, I've got to look to that cross, I've got to look to that serpent. That's what God said I had to do. How come you had to do that? Listen, snake bites are no fun. Snake bites are no fun. I have a little girl. She's about 16 now. We've been talking about that. She's getting old. But way back when she was a little girl named Chloe, a cute little old, I don't know, 2 years, 4 years old, and I don't know if I'm being accurate or I'm embellishing this story a little bit, but I'm trying to remember the details best I could. But we got word that she was bitten by a snake. And they heard her. She was playing out in the yard. The whole folks out in the yard. And she just started screaming. She's at the edge of the yard in some ivy that's planted for ground cover. She started screaming. I mean screaming. All babies cry. So Mom and Dad jumped up and ran over there. She's just a little toddler. Just barely can walk. Had on a little dress or little shorts and t-shirt. I can imagine. And I saw the picture, a little pair of sandals, little bitty toes sticking out the bottom of the sandal, and a little pink strap going all across her foot. I imagine it's pink. And I was told that snake, she had stepped on a snake, a copperhead. That sounds like a fiery serpent to me, a shiny penny of copper. But she stepped on a copperhead. And I've been told and I've read that a lot of snakes, they'll reach up and just fight for defense. They really want to run from people or hide from people. And in the first bite, it's not bad, often. It's just, get away from me. It's like a cat scratching. Said the second bite, you can count on it being poisonous. Well, that first bite hit that sandal, and Chloe didn't think nothing to move. She probably didn't even realize it was going on. That snake bit again. I believe I heard that. Or it could be, it's either one puncture mark or whatever. But anyway, she got a dose of the poison. She screamed. Mom and Dad went up, picked her up, couldn't understand what was the matter. Look, she was holding her foot, couldn't figure it out. Foot started swelling up, saw a small little puncture mark. And the little baby was crying. Oh, the little baby was hurt. That poison is a neurotoxin. It's painful. And it kills. And it destroys your nerves. And the way it kills is it runs up your body. And it paralyzes as it travels up. It can paralyze organs. But how it kills is it paralyzes the diaphragm where you can't breathe. It paralyzes the heart where it stops beating. And then its prey is laid there dead, and it can swallow its prey lifeless. Well, this is what's happening with our daughter. And you don't think that these people that were bitten by the serpent wasn't despising the serpent? And they were made to go look at it. They said, go look at that serpent. One that just bit you, go look at the image of that serpent. And they sent me a picture. Oh, foot black, gray, all kinds of colors of death. It's coming up her foot. It come up her foot, then it turned up her ankle. And I saw it. They had pictures. They had a Sharpie marker and a time written there. And then a little ways up had a Sharpie marker and a time written. Get close to her knee and a Sharpie marker and a time written there. I said, what is that? She said, that's where the poison traveling and keeping track of it. I said, well, what did they do? She said, well, they got antivenom. Well, they can give her the antivenom. Yes, but it takes time.
It took time to get to the hospital. It took time to get antivenom, which is a powder, and it has to be properly diluted into a liquid at the right temperature, and it has to be stirred and processed in the right way to be effective. And then they've got it ready. They have to give her a little bit. The antivenom could cause a reaction worse than the snake bite. They have to see if the antivenom would be just as deadly as the snake bite. But it wasn't. It was going to work. Their hope was in that antivenom. They gave her a vial. A vial, I believe, I read the other day, I don't know what it was back then, but it's expensive. It would be the same as $10,000. It might have been that much, but that's what it is now. A vial is $10,000. And you give her a vial of the antivenom, and the color is still coming up. Not as dark, because it's spreading, but you can tell the poison is still working its way up. And making another mark. They give her another vial. They gave her four vials of that stuff before it stopped. Then the color moved down from that top line. Moved down a little further. And her crying got a little less. They say when that antivenom is, if you're hit by it, said only 5 people died from snake bite last year. The blessings, if thousands were bitten, and of those 5, more were rattlesnakes than copperheads, but copperheads were some of them, and as far as snake bites in the country. They say that when you're close to death, you become paralyzed, your mouth, you no longer can talk, you no longer can see, and no longer can maneuver. You try to get to the hospital, you couldn't make yourself, you can't get to the hospital, but you no more, you can't drive the car. You can't drive the car to get to the hospital if you're out in the woods. But thank goodness it's slow. These people had time. The Lord said, go look at the snake. Go behold the snake and you'll live. And these people knew they had done wrong. But they were told, there's hope to live. Go look at this. You don't think they didn't take that hope? They went. They had been internet. Back then it was just word of mouth. They went and they ran to look at the pole, look at the serpent. And they found the serpent and they lived. They lived. Some might have said, I shouldn't have been bitten. I didn't rebel against God. I wasn't complaining. Some said, I'm gonna stay right here, give me some more of that wine and give me some more garlic and put a poultice on it. I know how to take care of a snake bite. And some died. But those that accepted the word of God and that realized that serpent represented their sin, that serpent represented, it represented in the future, it represented Christ taking our sin for us. Let's go to John chapter 3. And said, now he didn't say this, he was the Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. In verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus called himself the Son of God. He didn't call himself the Son of Man in that verse. He called himself the Son of God. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've heard these verses about in Hebrew, I have faith. And I heard these words of creation. And I've heard these words of forgiveness. And I've heard in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, but gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Work takes discipline. Work takes thoroughness. Work takes practice. You have to stick to it when you do a job. Work takes soberness. Work takes self-concentration. Work takes focus. If I had to be saved by my work, I wouldn't make it. What I just described is not me. I'm just a happy-go-lucky, careless, procrastinating person. I cannot work my way to heaven. I'm drawn away from God by sins and lusts all the time. I cannot work my way. As a matter of fact, I asked the Lord to save me. And several years later, in a Tom Farrell revival meeting, I went for it and asked the Lord to save me again. I was under such conviction, brought on by his preaching, I said, I can't be saved. I just don't live the life. But this verse, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. I couldn't work hard enough to save myself. If I could, I'd be a boastful person. Y'all know how aggravating I am. I'd aggravate everybody by my boasting. I'd be a boastful person if I could claim I'm saved by my works. I'm saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this serpent represented. It did not represent... It represented Christ dying for us. It represented sin. How do we know that? We all already told you how the people just despised the snake. But if you read through Psalm 22, it said he was despised. Jesus was despised, was rejected of men. And it said in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So they were both lifted up and they were both esteemed the same way. They were both despised at that moment. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he arose from the dead. He arose from the dead. And we're so grateful and so thankful that he suffered that for us, and that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's see what I got here. And when Jesus was crucified, he was despised. He was rejected. Back then, the Pharisees said, crucify him. He's a blasphemer. He's the son of Beelzebub. Said he's claiming to be God's son. He's a liar. That right there, in that time, that would be today's news media. They had the voice. They had the soapbox to stand on. That would be today's news media. The people, the gossiping people, that would be the social media. That would be Facebook and everybody else. They would scorn and rob Jesus. The government leaders, he said, I find no fault in this man. But yet, they scourged him and gave him over to the crowd, the righteous crowd, because they just didn't want to put up with it. That's what would happen today. Our holy Savior would be treated the same way because we have people the same way. You know that. But it happened back then. And we've got thousands of years, 2,000 years to understand it, to see more of God's Word shared with us. So no, that serpent wasn't made to be worshipped. That serpent was made to teach Israel a lesson. And then also give a prophecy of Christ to us. For us to have a lesson. For us to have a lesson of our sin that was put on him. And then for us to have salvation. To know that we can trust in him. Listen to this. In John chapter 3 and 18, he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. That means if we accept Christ our Savior, we're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son. That means back in the day, if you remember, the people were dead already. They were dying. The poison was coming up. I didn't. It wasn't a condemnation. It wasn't a punishment to look at that cross. It was salvation looking at the cross. If you didn't look at the cross, they were already dead. It was just a matter of time. He said, and he's telling Nicodemus right now, he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. He's wanting Nicodemus to accept him as Savior, because he has not believed on the name of his only begotten Son. And this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be manifest, and they are wrought in God. In John chapter 3, let's look. John chapter 3, let's go back to the beginning. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that came to see Jesus by night. Jesus came by night. Look back at verse 21:20. Verse 19, for this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. See, John, He said, you're sneaking around to see me. You need to accept me as Savior. You need to realize I'm the Son of God. He's trying to explain that to John, to Nicodemus. He said, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. That's what we've done. We have faith. We have the faith to be listed in Hebrews chapter 11. We have the faith to accept that the Lord is our Savior, Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that He died for us, and that our sins were put on Him and they're washed away by Him. And we have the faith to believe that we cannot work our way to salvation. We have the faith to believe that the Spirit is among us, and it's seen by the faithfulness of coming to church. It's seen by the faithfulness of testimony and giving witness. It's seen by the faithfulness of having compassion on those that we love that are saved and of those that aren't saved. That is the Holy Spirit. That's what is seen. The Spirit is invisible. But just like the Spirit, the wind bloweth and the wind is invisible. But the effects of that wind are seen, and the effects of the Spirit are seen. We give testimony that we're born again, and we're born again as a gift of God. For God gave His only begotten Son, and for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift. That settled my salvation. God gave it to us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much that You have given us a gift. Lord, You could have been anywhere except for that cross. What else could be worse? You could walk in a fiery furnace and not even feel the heat, not even smell like smoke, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You could walk in a scary storm and not even be wet, and calm the sea and calm the people in the boat. You could be anywhere You wanted to be. And You placed Yourself on that cross. And You suffered the pain and the agony that no one else ever had to suffer. That You didn't have to suffer. There's people that have suffered pain in the world. But You had a choice not to suffer that. You did it for me, Lord. You did it for us. We thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for that, Lord. We know You've forgiven us. You've proven You've forgiven us. You gave Your Word says You've forgiven us. We thank You for that, Lord. Lord, as we go on now, we're going to offer prayers now. We're going to offer prayers for the sick, for the lost that we know that haven't accepted You as Christ, that don't understand that they're full of poison, they're full of sin, and they're going to die unless they look to You, Lord. So as we take prayer requests, Lord, we ask that You be with us, bless us. Thank You for this service so far. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. I'm sorry about some of the emotion. All right, now, let's go to, I believe it's the time for a song, brother. Let me see here. No, oh, actually, after what I just said, is there anybody? Take a moment. Who wants to come forward and come to the Lord? We've all done that. We've all been with Jesus. We've all talked with Jesus. We've all come to the cross. We've all looked to Jesus. I understand. Let's just ask somebody for a moment. Let's just think for a moment. So anytime. Anything. You can come forward. You can pray at your seat. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. I had to say that. It just encourages me. I'll be saying that the rest of my life. So many words. Faith cometh by hearing about
hearing by the Word of God. In the time of Jesus, there were very few Bibles. If you knew of God, you heard it. Very, very few printed Bibles or any Scripture at the time of Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's so much in that. I just shared my favorite verses. As a matter of fact, as I quoted so many of them, that's about all of them I know. But those were enough to convince me that God loves me and that God has saved me out of His love by grace, not by my works. I'm not boasting at all. I'm giving all the credit to God.